that were right in leading his people, encouraged him to be of good cheer, to not faint, to not lose heart. And Joshua's faith was tried several times. The people of God, and we can go all the way back to the very beginning, the people of God has always been given a choice. Adam and Eve in the garden were given a choice. God gave the command, and man had the right to choose what they wanted to do, follow that command or to go with their own hearts or what was right in their eyes. And so within seeing all of that, Joshua set a decree before the people. And these are his words in Joshua 24, verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Now, I want you to remember that. Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. I believe that today when we ask someone this same question, a reference to whom they're going to serve, many will say, I'm going to serve the Lord God Almighty. But all we have to do is sit back and look at man. Watch him. I'm not telling anybody to pass judgment on anybody else, but all you have to do is sit back and watch. And it's just like that four-letter word, love. You know, we throw that word around very loosely. Love, I love this, I love that, I love you. But love is an action word.
Amen.
Just as serving God requires action. And the people here again, they stated to Joshua, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Now, all you have to do is remember Paul Harvey. You know, Paul Harvey would tell you something, and he would come back later and say, now, the rest of the story. The rest of the story is this, that when Joshua died out and all the elders that were along his age, and when they died out, the children of Israel turned back to those false gods. Turn back to those false gods. All you got to do is keep reading. In the book of Judges, chapter 2, verse 11, after Joshua had died, the Bible states this in Judges 2, verse 11, and the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served Baals. And they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from among the gods of the peoples who were around them and bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. Now we need to let those words set in. We need to listen to what the Bible says, in reference to people turning to false gods. I believe today that when we read through Scripture, they talk about tearing down the high places. Many of us have built up some high places. We'll put some gods before the God Almighty, and we'll begin to worship them instead of Him. we need to change. We need to change for the better and not the worse. Choose you this day. Oh, it's a choice. And we have many choices that have been laid out before us. And the thing that we choose is going to dictate the person that we are. And we need to consider this, and we need to look at this, and we need to understand that there's always going to be choices. That there's a one way, and then there's that two-lane road. Many times we choose to go down the wrong way, down a one-way road. And when you turn your back on God, you're going the wrong way. And there is time for a U-turn. There's a time to turn right and go straight. There's time for that because we're still breathing. But many people choose not to. Why? Because they have made the wrong choices. It's time to make a choice. It's time to make a choice. You know, we ask people sometimes, a wife and a husband may be riding down the road and they haven't eaten that day or that afternoon or that evening. Generally, no one is riding around early in the morning talking about what do you want to eat. But it's generally lunchtime or dinner time. And one will say, I don't know. And the other one will say the same. I don't know or I don't care. It's hard sometimes to make a choice, isn't it? Amen. And that's the way we are with God. That's the way we are with this world. It's hard to make a choice, but yet it should be easy, but yet it's hard. I want you to understand something. Easy, hard, whatever you want to look at it, however you want to look at it, I want you to know this, that it is possible to make a choice.
Amen.
And when we choose pleasure over God, we have made the wrong choice. You know, we have many things that pleasure us, and we choose Amen. Those things because that's what we want to do.
Amen.
We ignore God. We just, you know, we don't want to hear what His Word says. We want to do what we want to do, when we want to do it, how we want to do it.
Amen.
There's only one way, and it's God's way. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and the verses 1, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and the verses 1, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For the people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Does that fit any of you? Or are you a lover of self? Don't care about anybody else? Or are you a lover of money? You know, no, there's no harm in having money. There's no harm in going out and getting what you want. But when you put that almighty dollar ahead of God, you're wrong. Pleasure. And we have to understand that. Again, the last part of that says, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It's time to make a choice. Is that dollar that important? Are you that important? I want you to know exactly how important you are. Now, God so loved the world, the Bible says, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's how important we are. But when we put self above God, we need to go back and reevaluate our lives. We need to go back and see who we really are. Now, yes, He cares for us. He cares for us enough to take care of us. And there are many scriptures that point that out. One in particular is Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things are those? What you're going to eat? What you're going to wear? What you're going to drink? All of those things are provided for God's people by God's people. Because God allows His people to do the things that are right. things that are wrong, he despised those things. He hates those things. So we need to understand pleasure is not the choice that we should be making. It's not the choice that we should be making. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and the verses 24 and 25. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 and 25. We're going to take verse 23 with this because we have to understand. I mentioned that Joshua came after Moses, the successor of Moses. But Moses had to do some things in order to be that person that God wanted him or needed him to be. So it says in Hebrews chapter 11, because Moses is in the faith chapter, and the Bible tells us that all of these that are mentioned here, they died in faith. It says in verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 11, but by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful. And they were not afraid, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I want you to listen to that one more time. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He made a choice. He's of age now, and he made a choice. I am not going to be called Pharaoh's daughter, for she is not my mother. And that's a choice. And it's a good choice. And here's what we need to understand from this, that choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. We have so many people, when somebody starts talking about mistreating them, they turn their backs on God. I'm going to persecute you for being a child of God. You turn your back on him. You can't do that. You have to accept the good with the bad. Oh, we love good things from God, but when someone wants to mistreat us for being a child of God, oh, Christianity is out the window. We cannot allow that to happen. Moses refused, the Bible says, this pleasure. Not even for a season did he want to participate in the things that were wrong, but yet he wanted to do the things that were right. We need to understand pleasure is not the choice that we should make. And what about the praise of men? The praise of men. Over what God wants, we would rather have the praise of men. You've heard me say it, and I'll say it again. I care less what man says. We have to look at what God says. Amen. We have to focus on his word, and we have to be the people that he wants us to be. We're not trying to impress anybody. Man is not about him when we join ourselves together to worship. It's about God. Amen. Yes, we're here to edify one another, but we're not trying to please man. We're doing what God wants us to do. It says in verse 6, chapter 6, verse 1 of the book of Matthew, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. I believe one version says that he will reward you openly. Let's receive what God has for us, that reward that is shown before others. But the things in which we do, we should not go around bragging about those things. You already have your reward. Oh, we hear people all the time Oh, this person over here gave this much to this organization. This person over here gave that much to this individual or that individual. They're giving back to the community. That's great. For who's blowing that trumpet? Someone else. And that's the way it should be. But when that person starts boasting, I'm going to write to the news, and I'm going to call the news, and I'm going to tell them to come down here and watch what I'm doing. Watch how much money I give to this community here. Watch what I give over here. Look who I'm helping right here. Don't nobody really care about that. And the nobody that I'm really talking about here is God don't care about that. He says you already have your reward. What you do it. Don't go around bragging about what you're doing, because he says you already have your reward. And we need to understand that. But what you're looking for is the praise of men. Looking for the praise of men. Somebody write a big article about what I'm doing. Who cares? Now, if I help somebody and that somebody go and tell somebody else and they write that article, that's fine. But there's a lot of times when someone come and ask you, did you do this or did you do that? Sometimes it's denied because you don't want that publicity. You don't want it. Yeah, we help people all the time. But we do not allow the left to know what the right is doing. And that's the way it should be. So let's continue to do what God wants us to do. We're not up and down the highway, up and down Broadway, standing on street corners praying or out there saying, hey, come on and join me in this prayer right here and move from one corner to the next corner because, you know, this is what we want people to see that we're doing. You can pray from your own home for somebody. You don't have to be out there on those corners. Yes, we're to take the word of God out into a lost and dying world. That's great. That's what we're supposed to do. But we're not out there doing it for show. We're doing it because that's what God commands us to do. And we need to continue to do those things. In the book of John, chapter 12. In the book of John, chapter 12, verse 42 and 43. Now, I want you to look at these verses right here, and I want you to understand something, that we have many people today in this same boat because they care what man says. They want to fit in. Well, I tell you, get in where you fit in, but if it's where a man is, you need to get out, and you need to get in where God wants you in. It says here in John chapter 12, verse 41, Isaiah said these things because he saw this glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. Isn't that a shame? When a person loves what man says more than they love what God's word says. You need to be just the opposite. Time to make a choice. It's time to make a choice. Or are you going to choose what's right, or are you going to choose what's wrong? It's in our minds what we want to do. See, there are many people that are thinking about what's going to pleasure them right now. There's people that's thinking about what is he or what is she going to say? What is my family going to say? If I confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and I'm immersed in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of my sins, what is my family going to say? Hopefully they will say they're happy for you, that you have made the right choice. But if they're not happy, whose problem is it? It's not your problem because you have done what is right. So we need to understand, again, it's time to make a choice. It's time to make a choice. Well, what about riches? What about riches? Again, that almighty dollar. How many of us are out there trying to get that dollar because we care more about it than worshiping God? How many are out there like that? In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. See, again, there's no harm in having any money. Brother Robert, Brother Robert, I love Brother Robert, and Brother Robert doesn't love money. Matter of fact, you could probably even say Brother Robert despised money. But that's another story for another day. But we look at this, and the Bible says in verse 10 of 1 Timothy chapter 6, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." It's the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Wandered away from the faith because of the love of money. Now, what does that entail, the love of money? The root of all kinds of evil. I wonder how I can get a dollar. I wonder what I'm looking at my neighbor's things. I wonder what I can get for that. He left it out for a while. If I go over there and get it, he probably won't miss it. I'm not going to keep it. I'm going to go out there and sell it so I can have some money. Well, what about the man that, you know, was brought up and he didn't have that many things when he was brought up, but he met this guy on the street that said, "I can help you get some money. I can get you where you want to be. All you got to do is start selling these drugs." And you're thinking how many things you can buy with selling drugs because you're looking at what this individual has. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And so we need to understand that filthy lucre is not what God wants us to do. He wants us to get out and make an honest living.
Man.
And if you happen to get rich, so be it. But that's not our goal, is it? Our goal is to be rich in God's word. Our goal is to get to heaven. You can't take these material things with you.
Amen.
And the drug dealer is not going to get there. The thief is not going to get there. And so we have to understand the importance of looking at what choice do I have? He tells me I can get all of these things if I just, you know, just work 2 days a week selling drugs. I can get all these things. Well, why don't you go back and reevaluate that and say, I can go out and work 5 days a week over here and maybe I can still get the same things. And if I can't, I just have to settle for the thing that looks like that thing. You may not be able to get a Cadillac. Go out there and get a Pontiac. You may not be able to get that Shelby Mustang. Go out there and get you a Volkswagen. You know, we have to take those things into consideration when we start talking about riches. And we need to take them into serious consideration. In the book of James, the chapter is 5, verses 1, 2, and 3. James chapter 5. Verses 1, 2, and 3. Now, there's no sin in being rich. There's no sin in being rich.
Okay.
But here's what the Bible says, reference to rich people, some of them anyway. James chapter 5, verse 1. "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasure in the last days." You have laid up treasure in the last days. So we need to understand about these last days. We're living in them right now. Those individuals that we talked about earlier, those that are lovers of self, lovers of money, they're rather fulfill their pleasure than to have the pleasure of God. In these last days, we're in the last days. The last days started when Jesus was crucified, risen from that grave. We're in the last days.
Amen.
And I want you to understand that there's not a sign that we're going to be given for the return of Jesus Christ. So how long are we going to be in these last days? Until the last day. That's how long we're going to be here. So we need to make some choices, and we need to make sure that we make the right choice. In the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Matthew chapter 6 and the verse is 19. we find these words, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Because we need to know, you know, what we have. These material things, again, they're worthless. But we do have some treasures. And these treasures, the Bible says, need to be laid up in heaven. Verse 19, do not lay for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. You know, you got so many things, you're always worried about somebody taking something you have. Or you need to get rid of some stuff if that's what's keeping you up at night. Worried about who's going to break in and steal what I have. He says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And verse 24, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and money. Now, what has God said? God said, if a man don't work, a man don't eat. He tells you that the man that stole, let him steal no longer, but let him go out and get a job in order that he may help somebody else out. But you're not serving that money. You're serving God. You're doing what God wants you to do. But there's those people, again, they won't. Solomon said it best, you know, you're always, you know, grasping at the wind. Can any of you out there catch wind? No, you can't catch the wind. You can't do it. It is all useless. You have something and you want more. And a lot of times what we have, we lose it because we have lost focus. Again, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven. You know, he's looking at our work. He's looking at the time that we put in. He's looking at the devotion that we put in. He's looking at these things, how dedicated we are to serving him instead of money. See, we have people that would much rather work on a Sunday than worship God on a Sunday because of that almighty dollar. That almighty dollar. That almighty dollar has taken a lot of people to a place where they don't want to be. That rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus was taken to Abraham's bosom and the rich man was buried because of his riches. He thought more of self than he did anybody else. And that's what the love of money would do for you. It will cause you to think more of self than of God. Again, there's nothing wrong with being rich. You know, I wish I had more rich friends, Brother Glenn. You know? But the way it is now, people with money are worried, and they're worried about the wrong thing. Dave Ramsey was on the news yesterday, and he was telling people that were worried about their riches, about their stock. He said, just leave it right where it is. Don't mess with it. It's going to be okay. And if not, if you don't live to enjoy it, well, oh well. But leave it right where it is, he said. He said, the only person that gets hurt on a roller coaster ride is the one that jumps off of it. And I believe we need to understand that when it comes down to looking at, you know, the pleasures that we have put before God. Or the men that we're trying to please instead of trying to please God. Or the riches that we don't have, but yet some do. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And then we find that people need to make a choice in whether or not they want to serve God as Joshua put before the people, or they want to serve false gods. And when we start talking about false religion, what it really boils down to is men following men. The blind leading the blind. And the Bible says both of them shall fall in the ditch. We need to understand the importance of getting to God's word and doing the things that God wants us to do. If you cannot trace the place where you worship, the way that you worship, back to the Bible, I would like to encourage you to come away from those things. Come away from that way. Go to that man, go to that woman and ask them to show you in Scripture why they're doing what they're doing. If they can't, then you know they're wrong. The Bible says this, because there's a lot of people worshiping today. There's not only a lot of people gathered in places to worship, but there's a lot of people that proclaim and that they're worshiping at home. I want you to look at this, and I want you to look at it well. It says in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 and 9, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as the doctrines of commandments of men." Are we worshiping God the way He deserves to be worshiped? Are we worshiping God the way He has commanded us to worship? And if we're not, we need to change, don't we? Amen. So you are worshiping, but the Bible says that it's vain worship. Amen. It's vain worship. John says, if you know, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must now worship Him in spirit and in truth. We need to take that to heart. And we need to do what's right before God, for He's the one that's going to judge us. 2 John verse 9. 2 John and the verse is 9. As we think about this worshiping God, are we staying true to His word? Or have we transgressed? Or have we, trespassed against what He wants us to do? He says in 2 John verse 9, "Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son." So there is two, isn't it? There is a Father and there is a Son. Amen. And we need to understand the importance of both of them. Jesus came to do what the Father wanted Him to do, to give His life so that you and I may be able to live, so that we may have a right back to the tree of life. Let us understand the importance of doing what is right. So there are some false religions out there. There are some people that, yes, they are worshiping God, but their worship is not pleasing to Him. Man. It's unacceptable. So we need to do what's acceptable before God. As we bow down before our families, as we bow down before our jobs, as we bow down before men out there on the streets, as we bow down before false gods, we need to understand that God wants us to bow down before Him. Amen. And do what is right. Amen. So once again, let's read verse 8 along with that. "Watch yourself so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward." There in 2 John verse 8. Then verse 9 again, "Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. For whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works." And many times when we look at that verse, you know what we start thinking about? In Longview, Texas, there's a place that's called LBT. And there is the Jehovah's Witnesses. And we were knocking doors one day, and we walked up under this house, and there on that front door was a sign: "If you're a part of LBT, Longview Baptist Temple, or if you're a Jehovah's Witness, do not knock on our door or do not ring the bell." You know what I did? I rung that bell because I wasn't a part of either one of those groups. And what I said was, it's a shame that Church of Christ wasn't on there, wasn't on that sign. You know what that told me? That the church was not doing what they needed to be doing. We need to know that when John wrote this, it was dealing with not necessarily those out there in the denominational world, but it's dealing with God's own people that had turned their backs on Him. Those that quit doing what they were supposed to do. And that's why it says, everyone who goes ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. So we can lose him. We can lose him. But he doesn't want you to lose him, because he's right there. He's right there so that you can draw near to him and he will draw near to you. So let's understand, when our brethren, when they fall by the wayside because of false teaching, that we need to rebuke them. We need to talk to them. We need to try to encourage them to come back to the fold before it is too late. Make the right choice. And the right choice is God. Amen. God is the right choice. He trumps everything else. Amen. Pleasure, men pleasers, false religion, and riches. Amen. God is the choice. You know, I love counseling. I love counseling because what you do is you put a choice out there and allow the person to make up in their minds what they want to do. For if you tell them what to do and they fail, you're to blame. You're to blame. But here's some choices right here. If you want a pleasure, it's there. If you want riches, it's there. If you want men to say all these good things about you, it's there. If you want to have false religion, it's there. But God is the choice. In the book of Matthew chapter 12, verse 28, Matthew chapter 12 and the verse is 28, we find these words, Matthew 12, 28. But if by the Spirit, of God, that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can someone enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? Then indeed he may plunder his house. Whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. Therefore, I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. So we need to make a choice, don't we? And the choice, again, my friends, is God. In Matthew chapter 4, and the verse is 4. Matthew chapter 4, and the verse is 4. These words, Matthew 4, 4. As Jesus is tempted by the devil after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. It is by God's word that we live, not man's, not the devil's. So we need to look at this and we need to say that God is my choice. In the book of John chapter 7 and the verse is 17. John chapter 7 and the verse is 17. These words are found. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. God is the choice. His word is what we should be studying. This is what we should be living by. I don't have to know what the world is teaching out there to know that the world is wrong. All I have to do is know the word of God. And that's enough, isn't it? Yes, it is. Jesus says in the book of John, chapter 14 and the verse is 15. We need to take this to heart. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So God is the choice. The commandments that we need to keep are in Scripture. And we need to do what is right. Maybe you are ready to make that choice. Maybe you want to do what's right before God. Choose you this day. For tomorrow is not promised unto us, is it?
Amen.
It is not. So let's do what is right. So we find in the book of Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 and the verse is 15. As we talk about making the right choice. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So we first need to hear what the word says. We need to hear about God. You can't follow him if you don't know him.
Amen.
So you have to hear about our God. You have to have faith. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
You have to believe according to John chapter 5 and the verse is 46. You have to believe his word. Believe that Jesus is truly the Son of God and be willing to make that confession. But believe in John 5, verse 46. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me. For he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? I remember when I was a little boy, grandmother used to send us to the store to get something, and we'd go up there with a loaf of bread, and we come back, and that bread is smashed. She'd send us back, and you say, you tell them I sent you back up here. We normally didn't have to say anything, but that's what we did. We did what she said. So those, he knew her, so he knew that we was telling the truth about coming back. But Jesus says, you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. The Son of God, Moses, wrote about him. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Then we need to understand that we need to repent. If you are not a child of God, you're living in sin. You're going in a direction that God do not want you to go in, and he tells you to repent, turn away from those things, have a change of mind. And here's what the scripture says in Acts chapter 17 and the verses 30. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. I don't know. I don't know it's not going to be an excuse in the end. So we need to know. We need to know what God's word says, and we need to do those things. You need to make that confession, and according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, you need to confess. Confession is made with the mouth. Look what the scripture says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. All of these things go hand in hand, I want you to know. You cannot believe if you don't hear. You cannot repent if you have not heard what you need to repent of or what you need to believe in. And you cannot confess if you have not heard nor believe nor willing to repent. You can't confess. But if you're willing to do those things, why not? Why not be baptized? Jesus teaches Nicodemus in John chapter 3 about baptism. He teaches him, and the Bible says, as he's teaching him there in verse 5 of John chapter 3, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So baptism is important. It's important. That's what saves us, the Bible teaches in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 21. The like figure whereunto baptism doth now also save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, as many of you as has been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Then we need to know that we need to live faithful, because that's what God is looking at. Our faithfulness. Our faithfulness. In John chapter 15, verse 6 through 10. John chapter 15, verses 6 through 10. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown like a branch and withers. And the branches all gather, thrown into the fire and burn. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, and ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my words, or if you keep my commandments, you would abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Make a choice and make it a good one. Choose you this day. Hopefully you'll choose God to be obedient unto his will. If you're here and you desire to be added to the body of Christ, The opportunity is yours to come and to make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. To be immersed in the water of grave baptism. Maybe you need to make a confession. Maybe you need to ask for forgiveness. Maybe you just need the prayers. We ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.